Welcome to this audio sermon presented by Blue Letter Bible. Due to the fragile nature of cassette tape storage, a portion from the end of this teaching became inaudible. Fortunately, we do not believe any of the spiritual content or the applications contained within the rest of this message have been affected. We thank you for listening, and may the Lord richly bless the time you spend in His Word.
Some of you know that I've had a problem with vertigo. And vertigo is like being seasick. You are nauseated and dizzy. And somebody said, "Bill, it's no big deal. You're just a little dizzier than usual." I hope when I'm through, you're not going to say, "He's still dizzy." Well, while we're here, Kevin and Tasha are out there in their honeymoon in the South Seas. Speaking of marriage, a wife came to her husband and said, "You only married me because my dad gave me all this money." He said, "That's not true. I didn't care who gave you the money." Speaking of school, a son came home and said to his dad, "Dad, there's a small parent-teachers meeting tonight, and you need to be there." The dad said, "Well, if it's small, why do I need to be there?" And the son said, "Because it's just you and me and the principal." Now, my family's been listening to me for most of their lives. I've been their pastor most of their lives. And they say, "Dad, why don't you get some new jokes?" And I say, "Why, when the old ones are so good?" You don't agree. Well, we're going to plunge right into our subject. The text is 2 Corinthians 5, beginning at verse 17. And this is a series on what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? Now, probably a few years ago, this was a more common saying in that when we saw somebody doing something strange or weird, we'd say, "What on earth are you doing?" And then if there was something that surprised us, we might say, "For heaven's sake." So we're putting those two together, and it makes a very important question. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? And if you don't know your calling and purpose, you'll have a wasted life. And I'm convinced that a great problem with young people is that they don't have a sense of calling or purpose. This text will lead us into God's calling for our life. What on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? The passage is 2 Corinthians chapter 5, 17. "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Now all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the word of reconciliation. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he, God, made him, Christ, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Let's bow for prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we pray that by the power of the Holy Spirit, that these truths would be lifted off the page and be placed into our heart, and you would enable us to live them out to the glory of God the Father, to the exaltation of God the Son, and to the honor of God the Holy Spirit. Amen. Now, because we're in a series, we're only going to deal with a part of this passage. In fact, the first sentence in verse 17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. A new creation. For everyone, irregardless of gender, background, education, financial status, whatever, it's irregardless. Doesn't matter. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. Two men were talking, and one was really boasting about his family and his family background and how great his ancestors were. And the other man said, well, I didn't do so well. I trace my ancestry back to a farmer who failed and to a drunken sailor. The other man said, well, who's that? He said, Adam and Noah. So you and I have common ancestry, and we can't depend on that ancestry. Irregardless of that, anyone in Christ is a new creation. Now, this is big. This is more astounding than I can communicate. This miracle that has occurred for those in Christ to be a new creation. That's what we are. Now, it's new in the sense that we've never had it before. We are a new creation. Now, when God wanted to save his people and have us in heaven with him forever, he did not work on repairing our old nature. He gave us a new nature. And that is exactly what we need. We have been given a new nature. When we entered this world, we entered with a sin nature that came from Adam through the rest of men. God brought the original sin of Adam through the man to all the children. And my children have had one problem in life. They inherited my sin nature. God did not intend or attempt or plan to repair the old sin nature that we all have. This sin nature causes us to be bent away from God, never toward Him, always toward sin, always toward selfishness, always toward rebellion, living in spiritual death. And in that condition, we are more desperate than we realize. It is absolutely hopeless. The sin nature has us in a trap. And God Almighty must come and give us a new nature. And that new nature makes us a new creation. A farmer who grew some pigs wanted to make an experiment. So after the mother sow had some piglets, he grabbed two of them and he took them to a room which he had prepared. Was like a motel room. Was carpeted, not a bit of dirt anywhere, and he fed them with a bottle. And when they were able to eat food, he gave them the very best food. He sprayed perfume on them every day. And he powdered them and combed them and had toys in the room. And those pigs grew up that way. And the day came to make the experiment. And out on his farm, he had prepared two pens. One was a dirty, smelly mud hole. And the other was a very nice, clean pen. So he lets down the tailgate on the truck to see where the pigs are going to go. And don't you know, they made a direct line into that dirty, smelly mud hole and wallowed there and loved it. Now, why'd they do that? They did that because that's their nature. The farmer could not give them a new nature. No amount of work on them gave them a new nature. The perfume and the powder and the combing and the so on didn't change them. God did not work on our old nature. He gave us a new nature that makes us tonight a new creation. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. A new thing is like a new coat. You haven't worn it before. But the new nature is different and better and gives us a better quality of life here tonight and forever in the future. We are a new creation with a new life. Now this leads us to think about the doctrine of regeneration, which is very prevalent in the New Testament. It's like the words we use, born again, which comes out of John 3, where Jesus was speaking to the man Nicodemus. And Nicodemus came and asked Jesus a kind of a general question that didn't mean too much. He just said, "We know you're a great teacher, come from God." Well, Jesus knew that there was a deeper problem with Nicodemus. He wasn't getting to the point. He was concerned about eternal life. And the Lord Jesus Christ said to him, "You must be born again." Actually, he said, "You must be born from above." Nicodemus, you've had a natural birth from your parents. Now you need a spiritual birth from above, which is from God. Because you had nothing to do with your natural birth. You have nothing to do with your spiritual birth. It has to come from God. And he said, it is a must. It is a necessity. There will be no one in heaven who has not been born again, born from above, with a new nature and being a new creation. Like it or not, this is the requirement. The requirement for heaven is a new birth, a spiritual birth, nothing less. And in these contexts, we have words like must, unless, except. And so we want to consider three things about this necessity of the new birth. First of all, it is an absolute necessity. There is no other way to have a new nature or to be born again than this new birth. And the Lord said to Nicodemus, you cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. You will never make it to heaven. It is absolutely impossible. No amount of humanness is adequate. No human goodness, no human works. It has to be from the Holy Spirit of God. It's absolute. The second thing about this necessity is that it's universal. It's for everyone, and there are no exemptions. Even us left-handed people must be born again. All of us, kings, presidents, generals, politicians, especially politicians, lawyers, double-double possible. And you know, the thing about this is that good people must be born again. Now, the world thinks that good people go to heaven and bad people go to hell. Good people must be born again, spiritually. And we all know some nice people. They're good human beings. They must be born again. Must be born spiritually. Must become new creations. So this must idea that the Lord gave Nicodemus is an absolute necessity. It is a universal necessity. And thirdly, it's an unchanging necessity. This is the truth of God's word, and God's word has not changed. There is no new revelation or no new method given whereby we can get to heaven without being born again. Simply is not there. God has no plan B. And he doesn't need to, because he's never made a mistake. And God has never said, oops, even with you and me. It's an absolute, universal, and unchanging necessity to be a new creation.
creation.
Now Nicodemus asked the question that we would all ask and say, how? How can it be that I can be so changed that I would be a new creation, a new person, actually live in a different kingdom, in a different world? And Jesus said, it's by the Holy Spirit. He didn't give Nicodemus a list of things to do. He did not give Nicodemus not only a list, but some good works that he must attain. Left it clearly out of the hands of Nicodemus to say, it's by the Holy Spirit. This new birth is an act of the Holy Spirit. So it is done by Him. And we are sitting here with an old nature, a sin nature, living in this world, in this society. And the Holy Spirit comes and invades our life and convicts us of sin and raises us from spiritual death to spiritual life, opens our eyes and causes us to believe that Jesus Christ is the Savior and that through Him we can be forgiven and have eternal life. He does this for us. The Holy Spirit is the author of the new birth. We are not. We receive. And now we believe. So in thinking tonight about the new creation, it's a fact. It's presented here as a truth. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. It is not perhaps, it is not maybe, it is. Anyone in Christ is a new creation. And then we answered, how? What's the process? It's the work of God Himself by His Spirit, giving us a new life, a new birth, making us a new creation. And now we come to the purpose. What is all this about, and what does it have to do with what on earth are you doing for heaven's sake? The purpose of the new birth, making us a new creation, is to cause us to be different. We are now different than the ungodly society of people who are living with a sin nature. And I am concerned that Christian people are not aware of how different we are. We are a new creation. We're not the same. You say, well, in what ways are we different? First of all, we now love God. Unbelievers do not love God. In our old sin nature, we did not love God. Now we do. We love Him. We love righteousness, where once we did not. We loved ourselves, and we loved our sin, and we wallowed in it. Now we hate sin. We Christians sin, but we hate it. We now love God's Word. And we now love God's people. And all this is new. It's a new life. And we have a new purpose and new desires. And we now have a new master. Where previously our master was ourself and our sin and the world around us. And now we have a new master, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we write across the front, under new management. We're different people. We're not the same as those who have just a sin nature. We're set apart for God with a new calling. And we need to know that and live it out. Jesus put it this way. He said to the disciples and to us, "You are the salt of the earth." Now, salt is a very precious commodity. In many places in the world, it's used as cash. If you have salt, you can buy other things. If you have salt, you can sell it. And salt does two things. First of all, it preserves against rot. Salt prevents and preserves against rot. And we use it that way. We say, what's the spiritual application? On this earth, we are being salt as a preservative against the evils of the society in which we live. What on earth are you doing, for heaven's sake? You're being salt as a preservative against the evil we live in. And I say this to you, students. When you hit that campus tomorrow morning, you go there as a new creation. And you go there to be different. And you don't have to dress like they dress. And you don't have to talk like they talk. And you don't have to go where they go. You're new and different. And you're not obligated to bow down to them, those with the sin nature. We're not better, but we have a higher calling. And our purpose on this earth is not to come down to their level, but to lift them to the level that we have in the Bible. When you go to your workplace tomorrow morning, you go there as a new creation, not to be the same as those that you work with who are yet ungodly, where there is gossip and adultery and immorality and pornography. You go there to be different. That's what on earth you're doing, for heaven's sake. There was a recent television interview. A man with interviewing two women. One was a mother and one was an educator. The mother was there in protest. And as the interviewer asked her the question, "What's your problem?" she said this, "I have a daughter in high school." And in that high school, the girls are wearing T-shirts inscribed across the front of the T-shirt, "I love my part of my body." Pornographic. Rotten. The boys are wearing T-shirts, "I love my part of the body." The mother was enraged, crying for help to see what she could do. The interviewer turns to the educator and said to this lady, "What do you think?" She said, I approve. I think it's good. Young people need to learn about their anatomy. How far have we gone? We are in such a rapid moral decline in our society, we don't realize what we face every day.
Unfortunately, at this point in the original tape, the remainder of the message was not recoverable. Therefore, this is the end of the message. God bless you, and we hope you found this tape useful in your study of God's Word.